Go. Morning, everyone. Happy Monday. Let me get the questions up and ready. I hope everyone's got a top weekend. I went to something. Right, solo one again, because Anthony again feels like he deserves time off, which baffles me. He didn't do anything when he's here anyway. Right, let's get in to some questions. Let me get a group up just in case we have questions. Okay, so question number one. I'm redoing my client onboarding and want to drop them into an educational email sequence. Morning, Bob. To drip feed them information about energy balance, protein, DOMS, etc. How do I determine what they need to know and what order things should go in? Good question. The first thing I would suggest is taking, first of all, getting some feedback from your current clients on, how they understand methods and principles that would have helped them before when they started with you. I think that's the first thing. I think you can do that verbally or just via message, etc. That's the first thing. I think the second thing, which is probably a little bit more actionable for you, is knowing the types of clients that you work with and or the type of clients you want to work with moving forward. I think you'll understand, first of all, what level they come in to you for at, and also what lifestyle factors affect them, what goals and aspirations they would like they're coming to you for. And I think from that perspective, you can start to then prioritize the timeline of things to go in. Like, as an example, right? And logically, think about this logically as well. You, let's say from a nutrition standpoint, you probably wouldn't be talking about protein at the beginning before you talk about energy balance, right? And you probably wouldn't leave DOMS for 6 weeks in. You'd probably push that and position that at the beginning, because that's what, if you're working with, let's say, novices, DOMS is something that's going to come up because they have to differentiate sometimes and understand this isn't an injury. This is a byproduct of exercising, a byproduct of stress in the body. So I think base it off what kind of questions you get from clients during their time working with you, but also base it off a logical kind of process of a hierarchy of what they need to know and how that's going to impact their aspirations, goals moving forward. And listen, I think also it's not going to be exactly the same for every single person, right? Because people have different educational levels and understanding of things. So you can always position things if questions come up. You can also position things at different points for people, right? It's just you're getting a little bit of a flow in place for people that hits the majority, and then make it personalized as and when, because you'll have those resources. You can just kind of ping those videos out to people as and when they have those types of questions, if it's a couple of weeks before when it's scheduled to go out, for example. So I would, the way I would determine that is based off that. So yeah, hopefully that kind of that helps that question. Oh God. question two. You boys have a frantic march. Yes. How are you going to plan it out? What will be stripped back if need be? How do you go about knowing it's about to go nuclear? So how are we stripping things back? Well, to a certain extent, for example, so for some context, we had a normal march, and then within a couple of days, we had basically every week of us at a talk doing our own, the coaches prep day that we've got on the 15th, Gymshark on the 8th. So effectively, we're going to work around that. So we've made a couple of adjustments, first of all, from a group perspective. Secondly, we've been smart in the way that we're going to deliver the talks and the prep time that we need to put in for those talks, simply because we've got a hell of a lot of, you know, talks that we've done over the years, and not that we're literally kind of picking that up and placing it and not making any amendments, but, you know, we've got talks and we've got slides on pretty much everything we could ever talk about. So we're just reviewing those and making adjustments where needed, not just because, but where needed, where we can improve on. So I think the first thing is dipping into the resources we've already got and making adjustments to those, which is going to help with prep time. Me and Ant very much split the workload as well, in what we're doing, and just being smart of how we kind of reschedule certain things we do in the week, and also accepting that, you know, some things are just going to have to wait as well. So yeah, I think doing as much prep work as soon as we knew has helped. I think accepting the fact that we're not going to be able to do everything we would like to do as well in March. But saying that, we've designated the workload quite appropriately, I think. And also, you know, there's two of us as well, so it makes things a little bit easier. And just using the resources we've got already as well. And holding each other to account is a big thing also. So not rocket science, nothing kind of, no kind of life hacks at all, but just prepping as much as we can. And there's going to be a certain element of, you know, we're going to have to react at certain points, but we've prepped and planned as much as we can to manage it. So yeah, that's that one. Next question. Rank Instagram, Facebook, podcasts, and emails based on what you would prioritize for warming up a prospect. So, okay. Ooh. Depending on what's already going, so people consume different resources in different ways. Like some people won't touch emails, some people, you know, listen to podcasts every day. So I would say Instagram and Facebook are something that is consistent. That is almost like your shop window to get them into your world, i.e. get them to listen to your podcasts, i.e. get them to read and open your emails. So what would I prioritize? I would prioritize being consistent with podcasts and emails, definitely. But then to get the leads, you know, obviously I know this person, so you've got the gym floor, but you've also got being consistent on Instagram and Facebook. So I think just getting a really good balance of those four, to be honest. But ultimately, if you're thinking of your Instagram and your Facebook as your shop window to attract people into you, and your emails and your podcast to kind of warm them up. So how would I prioritize those? I think they're all just as important as each other, which is a really terrible answer, but I do. Yeah. Oh, good question. Tips to help remove your emotions from decisions, rejection, and or feedback, as this is necessary to run a successful business. Really good question. It's going to be hard to, I personally feel it's going to be hard to remove every piece of emotion from feedback and making decisions because you're so personally attached to your business. everyone is. I think if you don't have that emotional reaction of some degree, I'd question how much you actually give a shit about your business. But what really helps, what massively helps with this, hands down, is first of all, measuring and tracking your business, from finances to client retention to marketing metrics to lead magnets to campaigns to conversions to returning members and clients to referral campaigns. Like, that's the first thing, having data to allow you to look at from a logical standpoint, and to give you the information to quieten down the emotions and to look pragmatically at things. And I think the second thing, hands down, sorry, two more things actually. The second thing, hands down, is allowing you time to understand the data and to also then review your inputs, because the data is a result of your inputs, what you do on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis. So you've got to take that data, go, right, how did I get that data here, those results from what I have actually done? And you can marry that up against your schedule, against like your task lists. And then crucially then, using those two pillars to then make amendments where needed going forward, whether that be making decisions on your targets, making decisions on what you prioritize, making decisions on what time you invest into different things, making decisions on how you change things within your service, your business, that and plan accordingly ahead. So those things will really help to be able to manage the emotions, I would say, make more confident decisions, and deal with rejection as a source of feedback going forward. So really, really good question. It's something that I think you get better at over time. But I think there's always going to be a bit of an element of, you know, if someone leaves you or someone doesn't convert or someone ghosts you or you're not sure why things didn't happen, there's always going to be an element of emotion involved in that. But it's about minimizing that with those points, in my opinion. Next question. What's the biggest thing you've learned from helping other coaches with their business that's helped you with your own? Really, really good question. Honestly, trying to do the simple things consistently. Honestly, I think that it being number one, I think, get, you know, managing your time, doing the consistent foundational things day in, day out, week in, week out, following through on what you've planned to do as well, I think is crucial. Is the first thing. I think the second thing is doing things without sometimes a quick, a quick return on things, I think, is another thing I would do, like being consistent with the things that you need to be doing and without immediate feedback or immediate gratification, I think is huge. So I would say those two things are probably the biggest things that I guess I see in all the businesses that we've worked with and people we've worked with, and that I constantly come back to as learning for me. So yeah, good question. What's the one thing you would go back to and change how you did something because you thought, oh, I really fucked up there? Oh, God. I've got a list of things that I'd go back and change, and I'm still trying to put things in place for, to be honest. I do genuinely, this isn't like a cliche thing. I genuinely are looking at marketing and systems and services and processes and strategies, and I constantly look at all of those things as a constant kind of experiment and a constant, right, well, I've bridged the gap on this thing, this entry point here, but what can I do to improve the follow-on process or, the onboarding, right? We tweak, what's still not working. So I always look at everything now, and more so all the time, as constant experiments and constant tries. And one thing constantly being an evolution of the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Yeah, I really, really, really do look at things like that now. So there's not one, is there one thing that really sticks out in my mind? You know what? The one thing that really sticks out in my mind is when I worked in Australia for those years, I could have taken a lot more from the experience from a professional standpoint. So that is one of the things that I think I fucked up on a little bit. Yeah. There's always give and take with that. Quite a hard question. Next one, I want to get clients onto monthly recurring, so I don't need to have the conversation of that's another month coming up to finish. But not sure how to set it up. I created Stripe account. Do I send clients the link to my account and Stripe sets it up for them? Me. So first of all, I think communicating to your clients is going to be crucial on the change, and giving them a little bit of time to get used to it and set it up. From a setup perspective, you would create your product in Stripe, and how they're going to pay for that is probably obviously on a recurring basis. So effectively, what you need to then do is, once you've created the product, you then create, Stripe gives you an option to create an API link. And then very simply, when you're sending the comms out to your clients, you're including that link on there. And it's as simple as the client clicking the link, entering their details, and away they go. So it's genuinely as simple as that. The more work probably is more setting the products up, getting all the clients aligned with payment dates and the communication side of things. Apart from that, Stripe itself is pretty straightforward. Let us know if you need any help with that there. I think I need to increase my pricing in some areas, but I'm struggling with the confidence around charging people more than I already charge. How would you go about this? First thing I would say is, get critical feedback from clients. Get critical feedback from clients, is the very first thing, and probably the catalyst that is going to, first of all, give you confidence on charging more, based on what they value from the service, what they want to see more of from the service as well, what results they want to see more of, the experience, et cetera. So the very first thing I would say is, get critical feedback. Get that critical feedback, break it down, communicate to your clients what's going to happen moving forward. And also, I think off the back of that, I think going back to kind of your goals, your financial goals, looking at objectively what that price point should be to enable you to reach whatever goal that is. Because it may not be a big jump, it may be, a small jump. And I think the other decisions to make when increasing prices are, if you're going to be constantly increasing prices, your price points, like let's say in line with like inflation and whatnot and costs, and you're doing that maybe every 12 months, then your price increase would be, probably minimal but more frequent, right? Or if you're making big jumps because you've incurred big costs into the business, or you're really leveling up the service you're putting on, then you'd obviously increase that less frequently. So there's a couple of decisions to make there. The very first action I would take is seek critical feedback from clients and then use that to understand what your clients are enjoying, what they want more of, what they value the most. Are they getting the results they want or they expected? And then looking at your goals, where do I want that to be in regards to finances? And then kind of take those two decisions and go, right, well, there's a huge amount of work to put into there, which means extra time into developing the service, extra time with clients. So I'll reflect that in the price point or minimal kind of stuff. It's, you know, I feel I'm not aligned with the price point versus the service I'm offering now. So it might be a smaller increase, but more frequently over the years. So those are the decisions and the actions I would take for that, matey. No question on that one. When to chase someone who's had a consultation and needs to think about the cost. Listen, I think sooner the better, in my opinion. Why? Because the cost is telling me two things. One, they need to work out finances. Now, if there's a consideration of is this affordable with my current budget and the current finances I have available, yes or no, that's a very quick process if that's genuinely what they're looking for. Usually, so I would again, I would go back to them pretty quick on that. Secondly, if it's go away and think about it because of the cost, they're weighing up the investment versus the reward. Is this going to give me the return that I want? And there's an ambivalence around that. So again, what I would be positioning there is probably an extra touch point to follow up on that in regards to there's something that doesn't marry up, whether that's perceived value, relative value, level of trust. So again, with those things, I would be inquisitive and curious around, you know, do you understand everything? Is there any kind of hang-ups in regards to your understanding of what you're going to get from this? That those are the two scenarios I would look at there. But either one would be sooner rather than later, you know, within 48 hours, really, unless the conversation has led to something else, you know. Where's your favorite place to go on holiday? Good question. I love Ibiza. I love Ibiza. I love Australia. I love Southeast Asia. Yeah, one of those three. No question. If you could only do one exercise in your training program for legs, upper push, upper pull, and conditioning, what would they be? Squats. No. If we could do one exercise in each. Squats, because I've got a lot of variations of squats. Upper push would be handstand push-ups, upper pull-ups, conditioning. Perhaps pick one. Running. I hate running as well, but biggest bang for your buck, that one probably. Okay, more questions. What were the first automations you create to buy back time, the inquiry point, and bookings, hands down? Simply because going back and forth with people, trying to find a time slot wastes a huge amount of time. It's ridiculous. You don't realize how much it wastes and how much actually sometimes you delay people actually taking action. The inquiry point, Because again, people want things fast. You want people to act if they've been inspired to inquire with you. So again, yeah, definitely. So onboarding of a prospect and bookings. Thinking about future planning for my launch. If a program launch worked well, would you rinse and repeat in 2 or 3 months' time? 1,000%. Absolutely, mate. 1,000,000%. Listen, like, all you need to do is if you've got a process, and this is for anyone, whether it's a lead magnet, whether it's a launch for a program, whether it's whatever, and it's worked, and it's worked to some degree, it doesn't have to be, you know, completely sold out. But if you've gathered leads, if you've got clients, use that process and rinse and repeat, and look at the amendments and the improvements you can make for next time, and potentially just rename it so it's fresh. Are the slides from the Myanmar marketing webinar available yet? Not yet, but I'll chase up this week. And that's all the questions. Good questions today. Good questions, people. Right, guys, have a top week. If you've got this far on the podcast, we're doing a webinar on how to increase adherence and retention for clients next Thursday at 7 p.m. So drop us a message if you want and the link for that. Apart from that, catch you all very, very soon.